Morning, church. Oh, what a great start to the morning. Thanks, Pete, for leading us into worship. Now, I just think we just need to get straight into the word this morning. I am so excited about what God is going to speak to you about this morning. So let's open the word and let's dig deep and let's put all of the distractions aside and let's hear from God this morning. We're going to be speaking from Psalm 91 this morning. We're going to be speaking Psalm 91, 1 to 5. The one who lives under the protection of the Most High dwells in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge, my fortress, and my God, in whom I trust. He himself will deliver you from the hunter's nest, from the destructive plague. He will cover you with his feathers. You will take refuge under his wings. His faithfulness will be a protective shield. You will not fear the terror of the night, the arrow that flies by day. Amen. So we're going to take a look at the first couple of verses. The one who lives under the protection of the Most High dwells in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge, my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. In other translations, it uses words like dwell in the secret place, or the secret shelter, abides and rests under the shadow of the Almighty. Are you living in the protection of the Most High this morning? Are you dwelling? Are you abiding in the shadow of the Almighty this morning? Are you making God your fortress? Are you trusting him? And as I was preparing this, it made me think of a bit of a scenario when we were away and a situation I found myself in. So obviously, when we were away, not like here, it was really, really hot. And we would go on the beach or even by the pool deck. And the sand, if you didn't have your shoes on, was absolutely boiling. And it was actually quite funny when I was sat on my sun lounger. Oh, I wish I was there, my sun lounger. And I would watch all these people doing what I call the hot feet dance, like the hot sand feet dance, where they're like this, and you're like running to the shade because it's just a lot cooler. Well, Nancy one day had a massive, massive meltdown. I don't think Rob knows. I don't think he was with us. So we got halfway down the beach, and she refused to go no further because she was in the shadow, and it was really, really cool. So she was like, I am not walking on that sand anymore. It is really, really hot. So I was quite calm, even though I was standing on the sand, going, come on, it will be fine. We can run to the beach here. It's just up ahead. And inside, I was crying because my feet were absolutely boiling, but I was trying to be a good mum and go, come on. So we spent the next 5 minutes planning our run to the beach hut, planning to try and get to the beach hut, to try and get in the shade. And there was a lot of boats ahead that were moored on the beach, which obviously had loads of shade to it. But we had to get there. So we ended up, because Nancy refused to move, she ended up actually walking in my shadow. And still it was a little bit hot, but she was walking in my shadow to get to these moored boats that actually had the shade. And I had to take the painful, burning sensation on my feet to get us to that shade. And it made me think of these verses and how God is our shadow. And when the heat is on and when we're having a bit of a meltdown of a day, and because when things are hurting, when life happens, we are not doing the sand dance. We are actually resting. We are not having an hour of despair. We're not having an hour of hopelessness. And we're not being consumed by our insecurities. We are actually having an hour or hours under the shadow and in the shadow of the Almighty, in the secret place of the Most High, in the fortress, in the refuge. We need to get out of the place which is causing us to take our eyes off Jesus, and we need to step in to the dwelling place that is God's secret place, which will cause us to rest and stop. And it says in Psalm 46 this, "Be still and know that I am God." Wow. Be still and know that I am God. And it really reminded me of when I was in that shade of that. Where are your feet standing this morning? Are they standing on the hot, painful sand, full of frustration and pressures? Or are they standing in the shadow of the Almighty, where you can rest, where you can stop, and you don't have to run anymore? God is saying to you this morning, just stop running. Just stop doing the hot sand feet dance and start resting in the cool shadow of me. It goes on to say this in verse 3. "He himself will deliver you from the hunter's net, from the destructive plague." So let's think about those words, the hunter's net. In other version, it uses traps. It uses fowler's snare. But they all mean the same thing. Why does a hunter put a trap down to catch things? Why does a fisherman put bait on their rod to catch things? And maybe it's not in the same way as a fishing rod or a steel rod, but Satan has traps. The enemy has traps. And they come in all different shapes and sizes. What is your trapping this morning? What is your weakness this morning? Is there something in your life that is causing separation from the dwelling place we need to be in? And it made me think about, what is one of my trappings? So I'm going to let you into a little insight of one of my trappings. And one of my trappings is I get quite insecure sometimes. And Satan loves, and I mean loves, to play on this. And especially when I feel a little bit pressured and life is a bit hard, oh, I get really insecure. And Satan knows exactly how to pull me down. And in December, I had a really, really, really quite an insecure time. And Satan was like, right, I'm going to make Katie even more insecure. What am I going to do? And social media is, oh, I don't know about you, but it's one of my trappings. Where actually, when I feel insecure, it just doesn't help me. So I'm on social media, I'm looking at these perfect families, and I'm looking at all this perfect life and perfect home and perfect pictures of these children that are just really clean, and I'm just thinking, oh, my family aren't like that, and oh, my spiritual life, oh, my, and it just was so consuming. And then you turn into like, oh, this judgmental person, like, oh, well, I know she doesn't do that, and you're just so consumed. And oh my goodness, Satan was just like having a go. Where I just thought, no, I'm not doing this. So I took myself off social media and I filled my mind with his word, with good things. Because actually, in 1 Peter 5 and 8, it really talks about the seriousness of the enemy. And I really think we need to start waking up, because he's there. We don't need to give him any glory, but he is there. And it talks about we need to be serious. We need to be alert, because we have an adversary opponent that will fight continually and relentlessly. The devil is like prowling around like a roaring lion, vicious and ready to attack. But we have an even bigger, oh, a bigger lion that roars louder than anything else. So we need to start declaring war, oh, over our weaknesses. We need to start shouting, and I mean shouting to the Lord, that you are my refuge, that you are my fortress, that you are who I trust, and you will rescue me from that hunter's net, from that trap that I find myself in. We need to renew our mind every single day. every single day, we need to draw closer to him. Amen? So let's move on. He will, oh, this is like my favorite verse ever. He will cover you, and I just love the picture. Look at that picture. Wow. He will cover you with his feathers. You will take refuge under his wings. His faithfulness will be a protective shield. Oh, I like to call this verse the mother hen verse. And I just love the way the psalmist, oh, what he is doing in Psalm 91. He is building image upon image upon image. And if you read the whole of Psalm 91, oh, the images that are in there. And he's trying to express to us the ultimate security we should have in a relationship with the Lord. The Lord is described as a protector, a shadow, a refuge, a fortress. And in verse 4, it talks about feathers and wings and shield. What a beautiful, beautiful image. So I'm going to describe to you, I was going to show a YouTube clip, but it's a little bit cringy, so you've got me instead. What happens when a hen sees danger and they have their chicks in front of them? So if you're on a farm, if you live on a farm, I might get this totally wrong, but I don't think so. So what happens is the little chicks are playing around and the hen all of a sudden sees, could see an eagle or danger up ahead. And that moment, she spots danger, or she even senses it. Could be miles away. She opens up her wings, and she makes the most horrendous noise. But do you know what? Those chicks, they don't faff around. They don't do the pot feet dance. They know exactly what that voice, what that it means. It means danger. And they scurry underneath the wings of the mother, and doesn't just go under, she actually sits on them. She actually completely covers them, and it is such a beautiful, beautiful image, because they just knew that voice. They just knew what that voice meant. Do we know this, what the sound of God's voice sounds like? Are we abiding closely enough to know what God's voice sounds like? Are we? The only way we are going to know God's voice and get into the dwelling place, into that shadow of rescue and refuge. It says in Matthew 6:6, but you, when you pray, enter into your closet, into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father, which is in secret. And your Father, which is in secret, shall reward you openly. Shut that door, lock it, run away from the social media, run away from the situations you find yourself in daily that's pulling you away, and get in that room and take refuge under his wings. Take refuge under his wings. And another thing, read his word. Read this. This is amazing. Read this, and this is how you're going to know what God's voice sounds like. Not what the latest horoscope says, or what, you know, somebody's put a profound thing on Facebook, oh, that's for me today. No! What it says in this. Let's shut that door and lock it. These are the most practical ways to make God your dwelling place, to help you take refuge under his wings by filling our lives and minds for the words of God. So when those trappings come, we can stand, and we can stand strong in the refuge and under the shadow of his wings. Now, Jesus, in John 15, was preparing his disciples before he was crucified for the biggest upheaval of their life, for the biggest storm of their life. Jesus was going to be taken away from them, and they were going to be left with really angry Roman government. and they were going to be left with an angry Jewish system. And they were going to be threatened and some of them even killed. Their lives will be utter turmoil. And in John 15, Jesus is saying to them, and I think he's saying this to you too. Guys, can I just give you a piece of advice? Amongst all the turmoil that is going to happen, can I just give you a piece of advice? I want you to abide in me. I want you to live in me. I want you to draw on my life. I want you to look to me. And then he says this. Breathe in. Unless you abide in me, you will not make it. Unless you learn to draw on my life, you will not survive the coming turmoil. He also said, if you do not abide in me, you will wither and you will be burned up. Jesus actually said those words. Wow. And I believe that Jesus is calling us this morning to abide in him. If you are a child of God, you are the dwelling place of God. If you are a child of God, you are dwelling in his secret place on high. It has been given to you through Jesus' death and resurrection. But in despite of all that, he calls us to abide in him. He calls us to obey in him. He calls us to keep to his word. He calls us to stand by him. He calls us to dwell, to live in, to rest in his shadow. And declare war over everything that separates us from the dwelling place of the Most High, stops us from getting under that protection of the shadow of his wings. There is a part that we must play. And I was listening to a podcast last week, and it said, God doesn't dance with mannequins. God doesn't dance with mannequins. And I think sometimes, I know I have, I think we kind of think, oh, we'll just let God lead the dance. It's okay. No! Stop it. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. It's going to be you that makes all the hardest decisions in your personal life. It's going to be you that breaks off that relationship, those friendships that take you away from God's secret place. It's going to be you that switches off the rubbish that we call entertainment. It's going to be you that admits you have an addiction to social media and for you to do something about it. It's going to take you to have the courage to get counseling if there is stuff going on that you just can't shift. And these are just some things what's stopping you from abiding in the Most High. It's going to take you, like I've said before, to declare war over those trappings and swim as hard as you like upstream against the current. Come on, church. We can do this. Let us take responsibility to abide in him. Make him your dwelling place like no other. We have a part to play in getting to safety. Like those chicks had, they had a choice. Do they run? Do they flap around? Or do they run to their mum? And they ran because they knew if they didn't get under those wings, they probably would have got eaten by the eagle or snatched by the fox or the cat. Verse 5 and 6 says this, you will not fear the terror of the night, the arrow that flies by day. So let's just take a minute about what an arrowhead actually looks like. It's actually relatively small. But oh my goodness, it strikes with precision. Arrows are not fired randomly. Well, they probably are if I fired them, because I'm no, what do you call them? Archery? Arrow person? Archer! Yes, okay, so I'm no archer. So actually, they probably would be fired randomly. But generally, arrows are not fired randomly, but very, very meticulously and skillfully aimed to strike the weakest and vulnerable points. Think about the repeated feelings of depression and isolation and insecurity and anxiety that you can't seem to shake off, just keeps coming back to attack you again and again. Like I said before, the enemy is smart and he will stick with what works. Unless you are protected, unless you are dwelling in the Most High, they will find their mark, and some arrows are sent to hurt you, and some arrows are sent to you to physically hurt you, while others emotionally or spiritually. Remember, arrows are sent deliberately and are aimed at the spot to cause you most damage. Satan's arrows are targeted towards those arrows, those mind, those things in your mind that are not renewed by the word of God. They're not. If there's things in your mind that are not renewed by the word of God, those arrows are going to strike. No. Do you know what? It's not fair. And actually, sometimes stuff that we have to go through is really, really cruel and it hurts. But let's just remember this. In Isaiah 54:17, no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. Arrows are like weapons, like no other. But they can be striked down. They can be striked down. The word of God is the strongest spiritual weapon in existence, and it can destroy any, and I mean any weapon, any arrow that is sent against you. The Lord would not have made these promises to protect you from the fiery arrows of the enemy if you had not intended for you to believe him and to claim victory over it. It says in Ephesians 6:16, in addition to all this, take up your shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. People often give up when the arrow has been released straight for their head and straight for their heart. They don't run to God's wing for shelter. They drop their shield of faith and let the arrow hit the mark. Is this you this morning? Have you dropped your shield this morning? Are you letting those arrows that constantly batter you daily, are you letting them affect your life? If it is you, we must take a different tactic. We must take a different tactic. And this time, and it's time to resist and stand firm. It's time to pick up that shield of faith. It's time to declare war over those things that are going on in your mind because they are so not of the Lord. We're going to talk about Psalm 27. I'm not going to talk about all of it. But this is when David is up against a lot of stuff. And the pressure is on, and people are not being very nice to him. How does David respond? So at the start of this psalm, he is saying this. The Lord is my light and salvation, to whom shall I fear? When evil doers came against me to devour my flesh. And it's talking about slanderous speech. And what was David's response to this? He said, I have asked one thing from the Lord, is to dwell in the house of the Lord all of my days. 2, gazing on the beauty of the Lord and seeking him in his temple. For he will conceal me in his shelter. In the day of adversity, he will hide me under the cover of his tent. And he will set me high on a rock. Then my head will be high above my enemies around me. Wow. I heard this psalm, people have called it the holy lift, or elevator if you're in America. And I love that it's called this. It's because you come in to the secret place on the first floor, and he takes you up and sets you up, and now you begin to see the storm, the arrows, life challenges from a completely different vantage point. He's not going to take you out of those troubles. He's not going to take you out of that turmoil time. But oh my goodness, he will take you through it and up. And this is called seeing it through God's lens. Seeing it through God's lens, seeing it from a place of safety, seeing it from a place of protection, seeing it from a place of revelation. And it becomes not an hour of despair. It becomes not an hour of hopelessness. It's an hour of dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. Wow. And I speak from experience. I have had hours of despair the past few months. I have had hours of hopelessness. But do you know what? I have had hours upon hours of dwelling in the secret place of the Most High, hiding under the shadow of his wings, having the shield of faithfulness all around me. And when you start abiding and dwelling, you really do things. You really do see things through God's lens. And it is the most beautiful, peaceful place you find yourself in. It is the most beautiful and peaceful place you find yourself in. Come on, church. Let's be a church that dwells in a secret place of the Most High every single day. Every single day. If you're able to stand, if we could just stand. If you could just close our eyes and hold out our hands. Lord, we thank you that you are so committed to us. We read this time and time again in your word. And we ask that you will reevaluate how committed we are to you. God is calling us. He's calling us to draw closer to him. God is asking us, what are the things in our life that is separating us from dwelling in the Most High? Is it anxiety? Is it depression? Is it relationship? Is it friendships? Is it work situation? Whatever it is, God is saying to us right now to get in just that holy, holy lift, and let him lift your head up high and see it from a completely different vantage point, and to see it through his lens. And Lord, this morning, we just declare war over everything that gets in the way of the dwelling in you, abiding in you. Lord, we declare war over the spiritual trappings that some of us are facing right now. Lord, we declare war over the emotional trappings. We say corporately as a church, we are not having it anymore. We know it's not from you, Lord. And we say no more to the enemy. We say no more because we have you on our side. God is saying, you can do this. You can do this. Come into my shadow and I will give you rest. Come underneath my wings and I will give you protection. Pick up your shield of faithfulness and stand firm in the fortress. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.